And there was really no tenderness among the shouting. Yeah. That's the reason. I think that's what should happen to our nation is a good thing. It'll bring all of us closer together. Like a family. The time of testing. Like a family. You don't really know your wife until the youngster's at the point of death. You don't really know a person. You don't really know their worth. Not really. You don't really until that hour of crisis. You don't really. Don't really. But I'd never seen him. And yet, I'd stake everything that I have, not only my life, I stake the destiny of my soul, life beyond the grave, and remember something. When the clock takes its last beat, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. I stake everything I have, not life itself, but to that which is beyond this earthly life. When my own heart takes its last beat, the last beat, and I take my last breath, I stake everything I have on him. One whom I had never seen, you call me a fool. Do you feel sorry for me for being such a fool? No, my friend. I have seen the way. I have seen his marvelous transforming power in the lives of men and women. The greatest miracle in the world, the transformation of a life. Please know something. These physical healings are so secondary. They're so secondary. It's marvelous to see a body healed. That's wonderful. It's glorious to have a woman stand before you. And she will speak audibly again. It's marvelous. I know that it's glorious to be with a tent, but that's so secondary. The greatest miracle in the world is that transformation of the life. And I have seen him take a man's feet into him. Out of the very gutter, I have seen him. I have seen him so low down, so worthless, so despicable. I have seen him take a man, clothe him in the garment of righteousness, cover his sins with that precious blood, his own precious blood. I have seen it, an instantaneous thing. Not a gradual thing, but an instantaneous thing. Instantly! Salvation is a transaction. It's accepting what Jesus Christ did on the cross for every man and every woman. When it comes to predestination, I believe that when Jesus died, he died with no exception whatsoever. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into eternal life.
I have seen him take that man, the lowest of the low, give him a new mind, give him new ambition, new desire. All the things passed away, and behold, all things having become new, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That which was born of the flesh is flesh, and that's something that we all have in common. Every man, every living human being has that one thing in common. We've been born of the flesh. But Jesus was talking about the second birth, the spiritual birth, that new birth experience. And seeing that man born of the Spirit. And the friends marveled, and the woman had said, I have a new husband. And the kids who used to run from him afraid when he came home drunk, now put their arms around him, and in love, who can transform a life like that instantly? Only one. I've never seen Jesus. I've never heard him speak. But I have seen the Word. I'm satisfied. If you don't know what I'm talking about today, I just die for the light. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? Those who know me best know how I said over and over again, I'm completely dependent on the mighty third person, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. When I say to you that the Holy Spirit is a person, he's more than just one of the attributes. He's more than an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person, as definitely as God the Father is a person, as definitely as Jesus Christ the Son is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person with a definite personality. And if ever I walk out on a stage or on a platform, and I know the truth that I have breathed with the Holy Spirit out of my life and my heart, I'll never again. I'll never again walk out on a stage or a platform. We have too much pretense now in the ministry. And I'm not going to add to it. If ever I stand behind the pulpit, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit no longer comes upon me, it would only be a mockery. Never again stand behind the pulpit. It's a sacred place. It's a sacred place. I know better than anyone else what David meant in the Word of God. And he cried out, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He can take everything I've got. And I tell him that daily. angels that are coming for my body. Shoes on my feet, and everything.
Take not to thy Holy Spirit, son. I pray that you'll take me in death. And I say it sincerely. Before the angels, before the Father, before the great high priest, and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, I pray he shall take me in death before he takes the Holy Spirit from me. For without the Holy Spirit, I'm just ordinary. Just ordinary. Sweet spring, 9 miles from Concordia. I know from whence I've come. I'm completely detached from any publicity, good or bad. You can say anything you want. You know? Go to that coffin, you can say anything you want to about the corpse. You'll not bat an eyelash. You'll not move in my top. Try it sometime. Say anything you want. You never say it. You may not know what I'm talking about. No, my friend. I follow the Holy Spirit. I follow him, you'll never know. I follow him so close. In a miracle service, I follow him so close. So close, there's not the crowd out there. You're so in tune with a person. You're so near with yourself to a person. A person in this place today, in this auditorium, there is a person. God the Father sits upon his throne. His right hand is very moment, the position of great high priest. The very Son of the living God, ever living, to make intercession for you and for me. But in this place, this very moment, is the person of the Holy Spirit. The person through whom Jesus offered himself before he ever came to the earth in the form of flesh. The greatest gift that I would ever given to the church. I want to say something again to those of you in the great charismatic movement. Sometimes I think we get so familiar with the Holy Spirit. Too familiar. We speak of him so lightly. There's a reason why he referred to him by Jesus himself as the Holy. In his presence, I feel like taking the shoes from off my feet. They have forgotten how to worship. We have forgotten the holiness of the mighty third person of Trinity. Sometimes I think we have become too familiar with things that are sacred. I could never tell you. About the Holy Spirit, I could never.
It is because I'm so completely dependent upon you.
You see, when I tell you I have never seen him, one of whom I can honestly say take everything, but don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. You call me a fool, but I say publicly, but I've never seen him. He's never spoken an audible word to me. But I've seen the weapons. I've seen the way. I've seen the manifestation of his power. The world doesn't understand. They just don't understand. You can't analyze the things that I've been talking about today. You don't analyze God. You don't analyze Jesus. You don't analyze the Holy Spirit. You don't analyze miracles.
No, the Father didn't say he'd give me greater proof. Give me greater proof. I have to see Joseph first. I have to look upon the face of my son first before I believe. I have to hear his voice first. But I can believe, no. When he saw the way, my son is alive, I'll go to him. My son is alive. My heavenly Father is alive. My heavenly Father, and he needs no defense. My wonderful David is alive. In these days I'll go to him. He's alive. He's alive. I see the wagon. There is the doubt. Oh, this isn't the south. I could only tell you because it's different from the south. The Holy Spirit is a person. So everyone with order forever and ever be seen could never fail. You can answer the question of the Holy Spirit from now forever. Could argue the fact of the will. Let's be practical. Recently, talking with Colonel Earth, our great astronaut, his black eyes. You know, Captain Green, I walked on the moon.
I felt the presence of God as I had never known His presence. He began telling me some of this wonderful spiritual experiences on the moon. He felt the presence of Almighty God. I might have said, Colonel Owens, have you ever seen the wind? You walked on the moon. Have you ever seen the wind? It seems such a silly question, such a small question. To ask one of our greatest astronauts, he probably would have smiled. His eyes would have twinkled. He'd say, why, no. No. No one has seen the wind. I know. But there isn't a person living who does not accept the fact of the wind, because you see the result from the force of that wind. You do not deny that the wind blows just because you have not seen the wind. I stand before you and remember something. The Bible needs no defense. God needs no defense. Jesus needs no defense. The Holy Spirit needs no defense. I'm not defending a thing. I've only lifted the lid to my heart, and I'm telling you why I believe. Why? I believe. I've not seen the Holy Spirit. And you and I cannot see the Holy Spirit in this place of worship today. But we see the result of the force and the power of the Holy Spirit. Head bowed. Every head bowed in this place of worship. Every head bowed. I could have told you better. In a moment like this, when I feel like looking up and saying, forgive me, Father, for not having told it better. I'm so limited, in my vocabulary. I'm so limited, These things I can tell you are spiritual. I will only spiritually reveal. Only the Spirit can make the things that I've been talking about real to you. Only the Spirit. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto me, but my Father which is in heaven. Right now, where you're sitting, and I do not believe that I've ever done this before, I don't think at this time before a miracle service. I've got to be obedient to the Spirit. You're sitting there. We make this entire auditorium older. I want every person in this place to say, Catherine Kuhlman, I've never had that spiritual experience of being born again. I have never been born again. I have to do it. Whether you're here in the main sanctuary or whether you're in the other auditoriums, these closed circuits, it's up something that's personal. It's something that's very personal. He must be born again. I've got to do it. I have got to do it because there's something much more vitally important. And it comes from your heart. It's what's on the way down deep in that heart of your ship there. That simple prayer. And so, dear Jesus, that's what I want. I want to be born again. I want you to forgive my sins. I want the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse me from all sin. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want more than anything else in the world. I can't have you come part of this place. It's too small. But I want you to do something. The Holy Spirit, His presence, just permeates this entire auditorium. It's as sacred as though you were standing before the throne of God. Forget there's anyone else here in this auditorium. I'm going to pray the prayer from this pulpit. I want every person in this auditorium to say, Captain Coleman, that's what I want. I want Jesus to forgive my sins. And the scripture says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Your coming can be just an act of standing. And that person will say, that's what I want. Stand right now, and I'm going to pray right from this pulpit. Stand up right now. Every person will say, that's what I want. I want that new birth. Just stand. Just stand right wherever you are, all over the auditorium. I'm not asking you to come forward because there's no room in the front. Just stand and say, that's what I want. I want that new birth experience. I want Jesus to forgive my sins. Just that's right, and they're still standing. And they're still standing. And they're still standing. And they're still standing. And everybody who knows how to pray. Everybody, every Christian that says who knows how to pray, pray right now. In the other auditoriums where they have closed circles, just standing. Jesus will hear that prayer of yours. That's right. Just standing in the other auditorium. Just stand right there as though you were standing before the throne of God. Just stand. If we confess our sins, He is able and just to forgive us our sins. It's so simple, all you say is, dear Jesus, I come. Dear Jesus, I confess. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. The only person who sins who cannot forgive that one who not confess he's a sinner. Unashamedly, all over the auditorium, right out loud, audibly, say, dear Jesus. Say it again. I confess I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Come into my heart. I promise to live for you. From this moment on, take me just as I am. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And in this moment, I pray that in your spirit, the Holy Spirit, shall bear witness, oh, that witness. The Holy Spirit shall bear witness with every man.